Bro, wow. Freudian. I literally just listened to that today. Freudian is such a good album.
That's a problematic fave album. That's before.
Like it has like there's no fat to trim off of that album whatsoever. It's so good.
Facts, bro. He killed himself on that shit, man. He got to apologize for that. He got to make that right.
Man, I don't even be.
Apologize. You got to get on there. Look, you got to get on Twitter with the iPhone note. Look, with the iPhone note, talk about iPhone.
he better make that right.
Welcome to another episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Balor, a.k.a. Vivianis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl in Front of Your Face. I am here with my co-host, first, Jesse Pink.
Yo, what's up?
A.k.a. Dolomite Pete, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe, a.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw, new host. Next is Derek Small.
It's good.
A.K.A. B. Smalls, A.K.A. Anthony Mackey Jr., A.K.A. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Once again, Kobe has some work-related stuff that he has to attend to, so he will not be joining us today. But also, before we get to our guests, shout out to Drake for the intro music, and shout out to D. Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you. Joining us today is someone that you will be seeing a lot of in 2021 and beyond. Is a masterful producer, Gold Hayes, a.k.a. Hayes V, because he's a diamond just like The Rock, a.k.a. Golden Eye, because this man never fucking misses, a.k.a. Gold Hayes on the beat. What is going on, bro?
What's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
Glad to be here, man. Y'all can't see it, but this man...
You're here with this.
Y'all can't see it, but this man wiping himself off, bro. He the hottest man in this group right now, bro. He the hottest man in this interview.
He got some beats dropping off right now, boy.
Stop it.
Oh, man.
How's the winter and this man heating up? Explain that.
We getting ready for the summer, man. We three seasons ahead, you feel?
Yes, sir. So We already know, Mr. Gold Hayes yourself, man. You know, you're getting a lot of social media buzz and a lot of attention from a lot of big artists and a lot of big producers now for the dope beats that you make. My first question to you is, what was your favorite beat video that you made? And my second question to you in that is, how have you felt getting the type of response that you have to that beat video?
Man, that's two great questions, bro. I gotta say, one of my favorite beat videos, it's definitely one of the gospel remixes. I know for a fact it was one of the joints that I could hit Meek on. It was early. It was probably one of the earlier ones I did, where like you can like look in the whole room, you can see nothing in it. Like all the videos, like the people that have been watching it with me, they seen the room come up from like the beginning of the videos, like it was nothing in the room. Now we got all type of things in the room. And it's just like, it's definitely one of the gospel flips because there's so many of them. I done lost count of like how many we done did. Like how many videos we got. It's crazy, bro. It got to be like at least 80 to 90 of them because that's a lot, bro. We got to do like a big collage, like a yearly collage of all the videos together.
A yearly collage?
Yeah, like all of them combined, bro. We got to just find a way to like put them all together for one video. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, because like when I be listening like to those beats, you know, like to even the particular types that you're talking about, it's like I can hear Meek on here, I can hear Push on here, I can hear Rosé on here. You know, It's like you definitely be making beats where it's like you, if you really listen to rap or if you really listen to as much of these artists, you know the type of beats. Or, you know, as a student as you are with producing and with artists, it's you already like, I'm making this particular type of beat for this artist. And if you listen to this artist a lot, you know that's the beat for it.
Facts, bro. That was one of my main goals. I feel like rap had a lane that was pretty open, like more of a soulful lane with the hard drums. Like that lane has kind of been missed. So I just felt like I could just kind of fill that void in with these videos and just try to bring that light to, you know, the social media, because all you see on social media is like the same type of music, the same 808s and all that stuff. So with these videos, hopefully we can just... Exactly. We can continue to grow and just continue to grow the base, and everybody could just like they retweeting out the strength of the good music. You know what I'm saying? They just like, okay, this is dope, so I gotta reshare this or repost this. So it's all organic, And it's just like people that miss that feel, you know? People miss that feel. So yeah. Them joints, I could definitely hear Ross on it, Meek, Griselda, Push, Drake, all of them, like talking that talk one up, bro. Like, we got to land one of them this year. Cole, Kendrick, all that. We need that.
Whew. I'd be
crazy. That'd be crazy. I feel like, what was the second question that you asked again?
No, my second question or my subset question was, how was the response to that? To that favorite type of beat video. And you already said, like, it's been going crazy.
Yeah, it's been crazy, bro. It's been a blessing just to see that people rocking with it, you know, because, like, we wake up in the morning and just, we all think music, you know what I'm saying? So I just put that camera up there and just show people what I'm working on every day. And I feel like through these videos, I became a better producer because I'm learning what the people want more. And I'm learning, like, what the game is, you know, what the people need. Like, and I'm just trying to find the best way that I can fill in that mark the best way possible, you know? I'm not trying to hop on any other trends. I'm trying to stay me and, like, just build off of what I was influenced from, you know?
Man, I feel it.
Man, that's what's up. Bro. So since you're a student of the game and all that, what is a sample that you've been, like, dying to, like, remake, alter, like, all that sort of thing? Like, what's something you really want to get your hands on?
Man, that sample Jay had on this summer. I don't know how to flip it the right way, but that joint is so crazy. I don't know the original name of it, but that joint is so crazy. You don't even need no drums when you flip it. But if I could flip one sample, it'd be that right there. That's one of my favorite songs ever, bro. Like, favorite rap songs ever. Jay killed that. The original sample's crazy. Flawless, top to bottom, you feel me?
For sure.
Man.
Have you been trying to have you attempted that flipping it or tweaking it lately?
I tried so many times, bro, and it all came out how I didn't want it to come out. It came out trash multiple times, like in different years too, bro. Like, I tried once in 2013, I tried again in 2017, and I tried again like last year. But we're gonna catch it. It's something about that sample, man. I feel like it's certain sonics to certain songs that it take you back to when you first heard it, you know what I'm saying? Let me ask y'all that question. Like, what's a certain hip hop song that y'all hear that takes y'all back to when y'all first or fell in love with hip hop? You know, like, what was that moment where y'all like, man, y'all can hear this song today, and y'all like, man, I remember when I first heard this. Like, what's a song for y'all?
It's a 3-way tie for me, bro. It's either Snoop Dogg's Doggy Dogg World. You know, he had the dog pound on there. Snoop got one of the best flows of all times for me.
Facts.
And it's two songs from Illmatic. It's Halftime and Memory Lane, those two, and that's Sonics. Sample on Memory Lanes. That beat hits, so those crazy, my three. Bro. Those crazy. My three.
Illmatic, classic, hands down.
Yeah, I think for me, it's Stand by Eminem. Like, it's obviously such a cultural song, but like that one is just like, yo, that's when I fell in love with like storytelling type rap. You know what I'm saying? Because like, You're with him the entire time, and then M in the fourth verse, like, he doesn't know that the person he's writing to has already done this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
exactly. He did that. That was so beautiful, bro. The way he painted that was
And even the follow up to that song, it was off of Marshall Mathers LP 2. When it's his little brother writing to M and all that kind of stuff, and like M has his own sort of like reckoning with his own like who he is as an artist, like. Bro, like that type of stuff is like that's what I love about rap.
I love like when M get in that conversational bag. He not to be messed with when he starting conversation rap. Untouchable.
Yeah, I'm having trouble going like far back, so I'm gonna just give you one of my like all time just favorite kind of like albums in general because it had a lot of good songs on it. My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy by Ye.
Classic.
Hearing that album, like, it just really takes me back to, like, you know, the first time, like you said, hearing it and just really feeling like he was storytelling. You know what I mean?
2010.
Like, he walked us through all that. Dude had the visual with it. You know what I mean? Like, that was crazy. Like, that whole album in general, like, just hearing, like, Devil in a New Dress and, like, all those things, like...
I was just about to mention that, because...
It's literally, bro, like, those songs, that was such a well-put-together piece. You know what I mean?
But...
Like, it was just
Like you gotta be some sort of crazy to make that type of album, bro. Like, that album was that good. That album was that... It was that great. That album was that great, bro. That, you have to be some type of sick in the head to make that album.
That kid, for real. Nah, it's interesting that Derek mentioned that because with that beat, you know, on Devil in a New Dress, I can hear, I'm like, I can see where Go Haze came from for this. Cause you know, like it's Ross and me had the best verse of that decade, but I can see, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely like, if Go Haze would have made a beat similar to this, I can see Ross on rapping on this for real.
That's my style. Like that whole album, that part then made me realize it was like, I don't know, possible shit, but like, that's why I like really, that album right there and Blueprint, those two albums, and that's what made me say, okay, I need to lace my style off of this, because like it's going to always be needed, bro. It's that soul mixed with that rock star shit. It's just like that cocky shit, like all together, tied into one, like just beautiful. It's beautiful, bro. It's needed.
Man, Ross had that verse, and that was undoubtedly one of the best verses, but you want to talk about the best of the decade? Bro, J-Rock on Money Trees, like,
oh, he killed in. That.
Yeah. And Money Trees is a great song before he gets on it.
Yeah. J-Rock killed that shit. That was a great album too, man. Good Kid, Mad City. That shit was, man. I remember hearing that every day on the bus, high school, bro. I was like, seeing, yeah. Man, it was a lot of good projects that came out around that time too. Mixtapes, albums, all that shit. It was, man.
That was a great year.
That was a great year right there.
Bro. That was like before streaming hit too. That was before streaming really took off.
Right before it, so like that whole era was right before
that whole era. Damn,
that was when
Muggs was really going through Double XL and stuff, like, because Double XL was like the gatekeepers for like what music was good, what music was trash. If you got a Double XL, that meant you was really hitting.
Exactly. That was right.
Damn,
make that freshman list. That the MTV Jams was still popping. Exactly. You felt like, an era. Kids don't know, man. That man. Used to watch MTV Jams all day, bro. Like, just trying to figure out what was hot, what was new. You know what I'm saying?
Shoot, MTV Jams. I had, what's it called on my cable package? Music Choice.
Music Choice? All of that, bro. Yeah.
All that, bro.
That was, yeah, that's kind of missed in rap, too, because I feel like with us having to, like, really search for what we want to hear, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a gift and a curse in a way. You know, because, like, if you turn on the radio, you're going to think that's the older people going to think that's the only thing that rap is today. But it's like most of the people, they pay for that shit to get on the radio. You feel me? Like, it's record labels involved. So that shit is forced. So like, you can't listen to the radio and think that's what the industry is right now, what the game is, because it's so much talent out here. It's way more like if you search for it, it's a lot of talent out here. No. Back then you had them shows like Rap City and 106, and you had people to show you the quality, you know what I'm saying? Like, You don't have none of that on TV no more. You have to really find it, bro. Like, you have to really follow Benny the Butcher to know what they're doing. You have to really follow Push to see what they're doing. You gotta follow Russ. You gotta follow Meek. You gotta follow him, bro. You're gonna get lost quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's sad.
I see your face, you're like, man, that's sad, man. It's definitely sad.
Nah, cause like, I'm thinking about, like, you know, the damn 106 and, you know, the 106 freestyles.
Yeah.
You know, like the 106 freestyle. So like you saying, like, you know, I wake up like 5 a.m, you like, you seen the countdown list on like BET or even MTV. You seen the hottest rappers and stuff like coming out. Or like, even when they did like the hottest rappers of the game, like at the end of the year, they used to always do that on BET.
Yep. Yeah, MTV too. And they had the 100 music video countdown. Yeah, all that shit, bro. Like, exactly. So you was in music, you was turning TV on, you was gonna sit down and watch it. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, yeah.
It's interesting, like, when you said that artists are going to, like, it's interesting, like, when you talk about how labels, like, do pay for people's stuff to get on the music, to get on the radio and stuff like that, and you're like, there's different stuff, you know, that's going around. I think that goes back to what we were saying about, you know, I say after 2015, because that's when, like, Future really started to take up. I started really peeping this out the Dirty Sprite, too, because after that, that's when everything started really going stream. I'm not saying that album's responsible for it, but I really noticed that album got a lot of streaming love. But it's like, nowadays, you don't have to go to the gatekeepers with those Double XL, those music blogs, and the radio. You don't have to do that no more, because you got social media now. Yeah. And you have like a bunch of streaming services now where you can pick up different artists. Like Vince Staples sells out shows, and you damn near don't even hear that much Vince Staples radio music, at least in the city, at least in Chicago. You don't really hear it popping that much. You might hear it regionally. You know, they might play as much as like in LA or in Long Beach. But even then, he's still, you know, he's still popping.
That's why it's a gift from the curse, because like the bass, they gonna always rock with you. You know what I'm saying? But like to the general public, they gonna think you fell off because you ain't got that radio hit. But it's like, nah, bro, like Vince don't want to do a radio hit. How about that? You know what I'm saying? Vince gonna continue to stay true to himself. Like if you watch his interviews, you know, you already know what he think of the industry, you know what I'm saying? Like the standard industry, like it's long as he like, man, as long as I get my show money, as long as I sell my merch, I'm good, man. Like fuck the other shit. Like that's what matters at the end of the day, man. Like just continue to build your base. You know, right. Just continue to stay true to yourself, man. Like it's don't force it. Don't force it, man. Don't, the more we force it, we're gonna crash all that, man. We can't force the music. You know, no idea, no forced ideas.
So even like staying in like this same kind of bubble, what is a who is an artist rather that you feel maybe doesn't get enough love out there?
Like in the game, period.
Yeah.
I got a homie named Fletz. He dropped one of the best albums like ever. Like it's called Separation, produced by me on every track. Basically, we went in and we made a bunch of soulful music, top to bottom. He telling the story, crazy story. It's just full of just stuff that's needed in rap. Like just it's content, top to bottom. Y'all check it out whenever y'all get some time. Fletz Separation. It's just he coming, man. It's one of my favorite artists coming up, bro. Like Fletz, he hard.
What's that man's socials?
His socials is 100 Fletz, Instagram 100 Fletz _ I believe, and Twitter 100 Fletz, and right. Just Apple Music Fletz Separation. Search all that. It's gonna be worth the listen.
You right? Hey, listen. You gonna shout him out? We gonna give him all the love on here. That's all we
my
do.
Brother. That's my brother right there, man. Yeah.
True.
And I feel like in industry wise though, let me see, like give me some names, like because I feel like it's weird, bro, like because everybody has their own base, you know what I'm saying? So like we say like it's kind of like two different worlds in a sense, because it's like you could go to their page and they got 1,000 comments, so they fans ready for them to drop, you know what I'm saying? Just because they're not getting played on the radio, it doesn't mean that they're not relevant.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like it's everybody out here just getting to it by any like by their standards, you know. That's what really matters. Like since the shows ain't opening up, like people finding different ways to do different shows. Like even Chance, he did the live stream concert. That shit was cool. Like for his fan base, that's amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't need a radio hit to, you know, like as long as you got it, find different ways to just feed your fan base.
Yeah, for me, she just dropped an album, so it's kind of easy to say this, and she's been getting love. But it felt like for so long, Jasmine Sullivan was someone that was like slept on when it came to like the R&B conversation. Like
Duffy,
she's
bro.
So soulful, such a big voice, all that sort of stuff.
So talented,
so talented, bro. So talented, and man. And now like you said, like or like I said, she's you know she just put out an album. Everyone's very responsive to it, but yeah, like she, I don't think she got enough love for it as long. As she's been in the game.
And you know the crazy part? She said, that's just the EP. She said, that's not even the album yet. So, like, when shit start opening back up, now that she got all these, let me see, these casuals on her, you know, these new people on her, because she talking about what's trendy and what's not. That's the smart shit about the album. Like, she chose to find what was trendy about what's going on Instagram and all the shit and just made the most beautiful music out of it. You know what I'm saying? And found the way to like really talk to the young, to everybody pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Because we all go through these type of situations. So
not a lot of artists got that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of artists got that gift. Like
that's the gift, bro.
We talk about Kendrick all the time in terms of this. And like, he has the ability, this man got a Pulitzer, but like this shit knocks with Damn.
Exactly. That's hard. That's so hard.
That's hard to do.
People can't do that. The fact that she pulled that off, and made it sound good. Like a lot of artists and tried it. A lot of R&B artists and tried that and failed miserably. Or it sound cringeworthy, you know what I'm saying? So for her to do that, like, and that album sound, that project sound crazy top to bottom, her album gonna be crazy. She in a great position. And that Tiny Dust was amazing too.
Yeah, for
she
sure.
She killed that. I'm excited for R&B in general this year though. Like just a lot of R&B artists. I feel like it's gonna be another great year for R&B.
People want so badly for there to be like a decline of R&B, but there's such a quality of like R&B artists out right now between her, between, you know, Ari, you know, Jasmine, Summer. Like, there's like, even on the men's side too, like Pink Sweats, like there's so many dope like R&B artists, bro.
It's a lot of people out right now, bro. R&B winning. R&B been great for the last 3-4 years, actually. Great, like, been a lot of great albums. Even Daniel Caesar before he got canceled, like he
man, we ain't finna talk about that, bro.
Before he did that wild shit.
I wish he didn't die on the Yes Jewel, bro. I really wish.
White woman, come on, man, bro.
Wow.
Cause Freud, bro, wow. Freudian. I literally just listened to that today. Freudian is such a good album.
That's a problematic fave album. That's before.
Like it has like there's no fat to trim off of that album whatsoever. It's so good.
Fast, bro. He killed himself on that shit, man. He got to apologize for that. He got to make that right.
Man,
you gotta get on Twitter with the iPhone note. Talk about
he better make that right. Cause hey, he dropped another album and it sounded decent, but niggas forgot about that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know if I listen to Case Study more than like twice, bro. Like it's fine. You know what I mean?
Cool, but
like,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, slap is hard. I know what you do.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, nigga, we know what side you on, you know, nigga.
Right. He gotta make an album that's just a love letter to black women. I think that if he does that,
and he should call it that. He should call it that. Yeah.
Boy, Yes Jules be in that booth with him, like, you rock, babe. Give it on.
Bro, the crazy part is he died on that hill, and she didn't even care. Like, she don't even know him like that, bro.
We ain't had nothing from her. It's nuts.
R&B has always been my favorite type of music. Like, I've even told my friends that, like, it's never been really rap for me. Like, it's always R&B music. So, but I am going to put like a rap person's name in the mix for who doesn't get enough love. Really, I don't even know if many people have heard of dude, to be completely honest. He's on MMG, but Rocky Fresh
is amazing. Rocky
Fresh. He's actually
from the South suburbs. He went to my high school. So
he's amazing.
That's why you like him. That's why you like him.
From the Birds, right. Nigga. That's
Shout
why
out Rocky
like
Fresh. That's why.
Yeah. But no, Shout I actually think he's Fresh. Really like he has some old mixtapes that I think a lot of people should tap in with, like Driving 88, Electric Highway. Got some good features, some good singles out there. But I just don't think enough people he gets overshadowed by everybody else that's in MMG. They're like don't nobody really pay attention to him. So
yeah.
Yo. I got to get one in with Rocky, bro. He raw as hell. This year, we got to get one in, for sure.
Hey, bro, you keep talking about how you going to get one in with everybody. You keep talking about
you. Got to.
And this, I'm going to ask you this question. We just going to keep it a buck. What artists, past, present, would you love to collaborate with? Let me just hit your list right now, man.
You need a list? Can I give you five?
You can give me five. And I just said a list because I'm being rhetorical because it's like you... If like you got your people lined up, so I just want to hear them.
I gotta get one in with Drake, bro. I gotta, cause man, when Drake rap, bro. I gotta get one in with Gibbs. Gibbs is crazy.
Alfredo might be out. Might be rap album of the year, bro.
And Bandana is crazy. Bandana is back to back. Bandana was crazy. Let me see. Man, bro, it's so much good music out, bro. Like, I gotta get one in with Cole. Like, I gotta get one. I want to work with Rihanna. I want to make some raw shit with Rihanna. Mm-hmm. I could see some crazy shit, like some soulful shit. Like, let me see. Kendrick for sure. Bryson Tiller. Let me see. Ross. Jay. Nah, it's like it's so many people, bro. Like, it's like everybody, bro. I'm trying to conquer, bro. Like, we need that. We need all them joints. Like,
if ever seen Derek got happy as hell because he want to work with Bryson Tiller.
You heard whose name he said, right, Josh? You heard whose name he said, right, Josh? I just wanted you to
Tiller hard, bro.
Okay.
Tiller's hard.
He can make Bryson sound raw. He can make Bryson sound raw.
I'll make some shit with Bryson, bro. We'll make some shit.
Man, if he collaborates with Rihanna, we're gonna finally get that album.
We're gonna finally get some music out of Reed.
Look, that's what I'm saying. Rihanna got, she gotta take a break from them side ventures. We need some music.
But she on some shit. She trying to like let people know her worth though, man. So we gotta respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like shit. Whenever she decides to come back, it's gonna be crazy. She gonna do a mill first week, no question. That's gonna be her highest selling album, her quickest selling album, because everybody want it. So like niggas know what time it is. Her album gonna be the testament, you feel me? Like whenever it drop, because I'm sure she working. I'm sure she's been working nonstop on it, but it's like it's that time, bro. Like trying to make sure the time all right. It's been 5 years too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a crazy
amount of time. It's been a quick ass 5 years. But that's like some Sade shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? You had to wait 5-8 years for Sade albums, you feel me? Like you had to wait eight years for Janet Jackson albums, you feel me? Like,
as long as she don't go Lauryn Hill on me, bro, I'm cool.
Nah, I don't think she gonna do that. That's nuts. She ain't gonna do that.
Yeah.
She short.
I mean, since we're talking about all these different artists and stuff that you wanna work with and all that sort of stuff, like what would you say is your biggest goal that you wanna accomplish? Like the number one thing on your vision board, or what would that be?
Oh, buy my mom a new house. Stuff. That one, man. My mom a house. That's that. Like until I do that, mission not accomplished. You know what I'm saying? We gotta continue to keep going, putting the most in every day. Gotta make sure the family right. You know, that's the main thing, bro. Just making sure the family right. Every day. That's why y'all see me go hard on this computer every day, bro. Like we gotta mostly keep ourselves motivated, and we gotta just search for that motivation, bro. We gotta whatever it takes, as long as we get up and we feel motivated, and we just find ways to just put our best foot forward and apply ourselves, man. That's everything, bro. We just gotta make it happen. Make this shit happen, man. Music is powerful, bro. We can make it happen through music. You know,
you're right.
We done seen it happen time and time and time and time again, bro. Like it's possible.
Yeah, no, stuff like that is so important, because you got to get back to the people that invested in you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You definitely, bro. You got to pay it forward. You know what I mean?
Got to pay it forward, man. Once that happened, bro, there's so many other things I got on the list, but it's like, I got a vision board over there, so it's gonna be an eventful year. But it's on me to just make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting responsibility on myself, 100%. We're gonna make it happen.
For sure. So for the next question, we gonna take it back a little bit.
Okay.
What inspired you to even want to be a producer, and how has being a producer? How has being awesome. A producer influenced you as a rapper? So kind of two questions in one.
Yeah. What inspired me to be a producer? I remember it was this video game on a PlayStation 2. It's from Master Flex video game. Where had like how you like make beats on a game. This was like early 2000s. I don't know how I brought it. I think this shit was like $5 at the time. This was like when you go to GameStop and the games would be like $5 and you'll buy that shit, like the pre-order games and shit. So I just brought it and I was making beats on the PlayStation 2. I'm like, man, what if I end up being a producer? You know what I'm saying? So like, and I knew like off the albums I used to buy, like the real soulful albums, I was like, man, if I ever become a producer, I would love to make shit like this. So I said when I turned 16 or 17, I downloaded FL Studio. And when I first started, I was more of like an 808 heavy producer. You know, I really had to, like, it took years for me to find myself and find what I really want to do, because as we know, we growing up, so we going through what's hot. We feel like, okay, the people like this, so I'm going to cater to more of this. And then one day I just woke up like, nah, fuck it, I'm going to do what I like, you know? And that's when I just started catering to more of the soulful samples and just, like, the more of the drums. And that's where that shit came. It's crazy how the game comes in full circle, because I feel like it's in high demand right now. Like, the world loves that shit. So I'm like, man, like, I got to get ahead of the curve on this shit and really just put my best foot forward on this sound, because that's how I grew up, bro. Like, all them albums back in the day, that's how a nigga really grew up. Like, Nas, it was written. My uncle used to have all the Ghetto Boys albums, all the Scarface albums, like, all the Beanie Sigel albums. My Rockefeller Heavy, like, we had the Cameron albums, like, all that shit, bro. Like, so if we could just add that feeling back, I was like, man, I love to be ahead that way. Just do it that way. And I feel like with the rapping side, I heard 444 and I heard Jay talk on that, like the shit he was saying on that. I'm like, man, I got to just start writing. That album really pushed me to start writing. I didn't really start rapping. That's how I started rapping. 444. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's
really recent, bro. I really started rapping in 2018. This was like, I got to play off some new music too, man. I'm working on a new project. It's almost finished, actually. It's called From Here On Out. And it's just, it's full of all types of sounds. It's an amazing project. I feel like I'm really finding myself and I'm growing up. I'm 26, so I feel like I'm just taking advantage of all the opportunities I got. So y'all going to hear it on this album. Y'all going to feel it. A lot of my influences are heavy on this album. You're going to hear a lot of my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. You're going to hear a lot of Blueprint. You're going to hear a lot of that shit that we was really raised off of, like, put into one. Like, all the sonics are on this album. It's amazing. But that album definitely inspired me to just focus on writing more. Like, when I heard that album, I'm like, okay, I got to – let me just give it a try. Let me just put my best foot forward with this shit because I know it's a different layer. And plus, I got tired of just sending beats to rappers and not feeling the chemistry. You know, like, I was sending beats to a lot of rappers and they was just – I wouldn't feel like it was like halfway, you know, that wasn't giving the same energy I was giving the rappers. So I was like, damn, what if I put this energy into myself as an artist, see what I can get back? Cause I know I'm holding myself accountable and make my best shit. So in time, I really had to find my voice. And I feel like in two years later, here I am, you know, just figuring it out.
Man, it seems like you've already been like, you're describing like your musical progression, like as an artist and a producer, you know, like, cause it shocks me that like you started rapping like relatively like what, 3 to 4 years ago, you know, I would have thought like it was side by side, but I mean, it's kind of like what happened with Ye first started producing and then he switched to rapping and then like exactly. He did both. So yeah, that does happen. So I guess my question to you is that in that musical progression that you've done as a producer and now as an artist, what's one piece of crucial advice that you've learned or that someone has shared with you? So like, hey, yo, man, I see what you're doing, but as a producer or as an artist, keep this in the back of your mind.
Get out of your head. Get out of your head, bro. Like, just, I know friends, I know homies who would like hold songs for forever. And the whole game would change, bro. And it's like the game can change so quick. Like, you got to be with the times, bro. You got to build up catalog and you got to stay out of your own head. You got to release, bro. Like, you also got to know that you need a team too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really, the team is extremely important because something you may not know, something that people may know around you, you know, and it's always good to ask for advice, you know, like with people you trust, of course, but like, don't feel like you're too high up to, you know, not ask for nobody advice. Like, damn, what you think about this? Like, how should I do this? Like, just, man, just stay, make the most out of the moment you're in. You know what I'm saying? Don't wait on nobody and just make shit happen now. Make it happen now. I feel like in this time right now, content is extremely important. So I feel like that's another way to just show the people what you're doing and just really apply yourself. Like every day people are scrolling on Twitter and Instagram. They're trying to see the nets. Like, you know, if it's dope, you will get the support. It's going to find somebody in the world. Like I used to think when I was doing these videos, I'm like, man, what if I end up getting like 5 or 10 retweets? But it's like, it's not about the numbers. You know, it's about the 5 people, if I can influence those 5 people, the mission accomplished. You know what I'm saying? It just so happened to do the numbers that do every time. And I feel like just through all the love and support I get, I know I'm influencing somebody. And that's what I keep in the back of my head. Like, know that you always influence somebody with what you're doing. So you just got to, look at yourself in a way as like a fan of yourself in a sense. Like, if I'm a fan of me, what would I expect from me? You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, what would I expect from him next? You know what I'm saying? What would I want to hear from him next? So I feel like this shit is a movie. So you just got to continue to find different ways. You got to really... You gotta be present, man. You gotta be present. It started with you, bro.
Nah, that's facts. Because I remember scrolling through Twitter. It was right when the pandemic and everything started, and someone retweeted you on the timeline. I was like, oh, okay, this is dope. And then I sent it to, and then I would just keep, you know, watching, and I would send stuff to my, you know, now late cousin. And like we would be talking, like we would be in the same house. But I was like, yo, did you see this? Like, dude's going, like, we were sending in the group chat, like, all of that kind of stuff, bro. Like, you definitely, yeah, like, you definitely have been, like, someone that all of us have been like, yo, did you see this beat that he just did? Like, this shit is nuts. Like,
that's
sort of
the
thing.
Power of music, bro. That's just bringing people together through music, and it's mess, bro. If I can, man, see, I ain't even know that. That's crazy, bro. Like, just knowing that, like, we could just spread the energy through the music, bro. It's everything. That's why we keep going. That's why we every day we still posting that shit, bro. Like, cause people are in the crib, bro. They chilling, bro. Like, we trying to find some quality, man. Like, if I can add to that, I'm adding, bro. I'm here.
So in that vein, like, how are you challenging yourself to expand your musical craft platform, all that sort of stuff? Like, how do you keep, like, okay, you have these different beat videos. You put out, you know, you put out an album of you or an EP of you rapping. You know, you have another one coming out. You're working with these different artists. But how are you continuing, like, to not get complacent in where you are right now? Because you could just be like, yo, I got a big enough following on Twitter. I'm just going to hang out with some artists, like, in their comments and share my stuff. And then hopefully someone sees it. Like, how do you continue to keep yourself grinding and pushing?
See, one thing... I'm not a desperate person. But I don't get comfortable. You know, I think that's one of my best traits. I don't ever get comfortable. I feel like for me to, it'll be a new challenge tomorrow. It'll be something that'll happen tomorrow. Like, nah, I gotta post this. I gotta do this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just finding the journey in every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, just making the most out of every day. And I feel like that's where the list of the goals, they come in. You know, like, you make a bunch of goals and you just trying to find ways to just apply yourself to each one, and you just putting your best foot forward. And, you know, but yeah, just making it possible for yourself, man. Just putting yourself in those positions, building them connections with people, because these videos, man, it changed my life in so many ways. And I feel like a lot of people I looked up to, they didn't hit me and just said, man, keep doing what you're doing. And that there is enough for me, but I know there's way more we can do. When the world opened back up again, we're going to throw shows. We will throw shows. So it's just all about, like, taking everybody who we done came with, like, who been supporting, and just, like, okay, now look at this. We're going to make this. Like, imagine that shit as a live show. You know what I'm saying? That should be crazy.
Man, listen.
That should be it, bro. Listen, but that's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be, man. Just waiting for the world to open back up fully, bro. Like, people, y'all stay safe out here too, man. I'm just getting high. Shit real out here, man.
Yeah.
It's depressing, man. But we still here, though. We still here. That's the most important part, you know?
Yeah, like, I'll be honest. Like, this whole situation has affected the way that we think about things, the way we consume things. How we go about our business, you know what I mean? Like, this whole personal pan pizza,
polygraph. How we talk.
Look, whatever you want to call it. Look.
How we talking right now? Like, this is different, bro. Like, the whole Zoom thing is crazy. Like, we supposed to be in the room right now, just talking, you know, chopping up. But, like, due to this pandemic, like, we forced to, you know. But it's different ways. We got to find a positive in it, you know.
So even in that same vein, with, like, the way we consume content and, you know, with you posting videos on Twitter and receiving the feedback that you get, how do you think this whole pandemic situation has impacted music as a whole and the way that it's consumed by its audience?
It showed me that everybody looking. It showed me that everybody's watching the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody in a way that, even though they may not post on social media, everybody on their phone. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's seeing this, so everybody involved. Like, even with a few of the versus battles, you can see, like, people that you don't see post every day, they in the comments because they watching just like us. So it's like, it really puts things into perspective that how small the world is, and music makes the world so small. It's like, man, it just shows you how small the world is, you know? Music brings us together. It shows me how important music is, too, if used the right way, and how people should use their platforms in a positive manner, especially right now.
Yeah, I mean, between the versus battles and, you know.
Versus battles have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean.
Personally, when they was doing the split screens, that was crazy. I missed that.
Man, it was way more, like, authentic that way too, bro.
Exactly. Like, you, yeah. I don't want to see y'all in the same room sitting next to each other on some Def Jam Vendetta shit. That's corny. But, like, y'all, like, y'all. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. If you got your space and he in his space, like, that shit with the Dream and Sean Garrett, that was amazing, bro. That shit was crazy. Like, watching that in real time, the T-Pain and Lil Jon, the Hit-Boy and who was it? Hit-Boy and Boy Wonder?
Yeah.
That was different. That the first Timbaland and Swizz battle was different. Like, just seeing them, like, because they had to, like, they had to pick their own shit in real time, bro. Like, they was really in real time. It wasn't no rehearsal.
It's like a producer's, like, fan's dream, because, like, they right there. Because, like, they might mess around and, like, make a song on live. You just don't know.
Exactly. After the battle over, they on there cooking up beats. You know what I'm saying?
It's like when you said verses, and like when you said the Def Jam 5 set, bro, why did I think about Gucci and Jeezy?
That's what it looked like. They got the V in the middle. That's funny.
But yo, no, I also can't believe that they got them in the same room, bro.
Yeah.
That was a big moment for rap. Well, I'm proud of Gucci and Jeezy for doing that, because they just showed the younger kids that it is, no matter to what extent, it is possible that you can overcome. And I'll tell you, that was a strong situation they overcame.
I don't know, bro, because Gucci made it clear where he stood, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gucci made it clear where he stood, bro.
He was picking them.
Jeezy was like, it's been 14, 15. It's been 15. Like,
15.
Nah.
Yeah, he's like, get it right. Man. Yeah. That's man, good. It took off for Gucci. So
going off of that, we talk about this being a collaborative process, and some of them actually worked out well, you know what I'm saying? Like the Jill Scott and Erykah Badu one. Like that was amazing. But who are someone that if you were to create a collab tape with, whether that's an artist and a producer or two different artists, like who is someone that you would want to see? Like personally, I would love to see like someone like Larry June and Dram together and Big Baby Dram together.
That'd be crazy.
I think their styles will mesh like really well, because like, you know, June is real laid back and Big Baby, he can be too, but like I think their sounds like would complement each other pretty well.
That's a crazy question, bro. Oh man. Oh shit. Damn. Probably Gibbs and Benny. Yeah, a whole Gibbs and Benny tape would be crazy. Like them going back and forth trading bars on all types of like soulful beats. Hey, right now, definitely.
Cause like we've already found out, I didn't mean to cut you off, man, but like it's interesting because like One Way off of
One Way crazy
off of Benny's track, we already got a sample of that. You right.
Crazy, bro. Them going back and forth, like even Gibbs coming back at the end with the verse, that was crazy. Like just to hit them go, like, cause you know they ain't gonna hold nothing back. Like, and I would say Ross and Drake would make a crazy album, even though they may not like do it, they didn't do so many collabs over years. Every collab they got is crazy.
It is. There's not one bad Ross or Drake collab.
Facts. I say them too. I know it's a lot of others though. So Larry Jones and Drawn, that'd be crazy though. Larry Jones is so slept on, bro. Like that's one of my favorite artists right now, bro. He cold with it.
Man, you want to talk about someone that's putting out a lot of work, dog. He put out like 8 tapes between 2019 and 2020, bro. Like
he motivated me. That's one of my biggest motivators right now, bro. He played a huge part in actually me just like applying myself to, like, just listen to his lyrics, like the stuff he's saying in the songs, like it'll motivate you.
Yeah,
to get to it. Man, that consistency is crazy. Unheard of.
Sure.
Most definitely. Shoot. Well, music in general, look, we're talking about all these different artists, right? And as you know, even as a producer and an artist, music is so different just across the country, you know, whether you're talking East Coast, Midwest, South, you know, they definitely got their own sound. So if we're talking
about countries too,
that too, look, you've seen the evolution of like, especially with the, I know for me when I was online, like the whole SARS situation and then hearing like more music from that culture and things like that. But if we're talking about Chicago specifically, uh-huh. How do you see the Chicago music scene continuing to evolve through the pandemic, after, like, kind of how do you see that going?
Personally, I feel like Chicago is in a great space because people are building up and everybody's learning to grow in their brands. I feel like a lot of artists, they're getting better with their rollouts. A lot of artists are getting better with their artwork. A lot of artists are getting better with their videos. I feel like it's been a minute since I've seen like a bunch of hall, like hallway videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, you remember when people used to just do their videos in the hallways and outside? Like, it's been a minute. Like, artists are really stepping out of their comfort zone and getting treatments together. So, like, just to see that, that makes the future bright enough, because you got hit here, you are like, you stereotypical. These may be some of the hardest people ever you never met in your life. You know what I'm saying? But like, they having fun through videos. Like, just to see that, that brings the fun. It's a rap. Like, no matter how hard the song may be, you took time out of your day to write a treatment for this video and to add colorful aesthetics. People who do that, they're going to go extremely far. And there's a lot of people out here that's doing it. So I feel like the future bright, bro. You got people like me who know how to add that soulful, that feeling, bro. Like, it's bright, bro. The future of Chicago is extremely bright. Definitely.
Oh, God, you put yourself in that mix.
Nothing, bro. Nothing.
Most definitely. Because, like, that's
I need my right. credit. I need my definitely. Credit.
You got to get your credit.
True. I'm not cocky by any means, but niggas know. Niggas know.
That's fact. Like, even the people you name, right? You know, we could talk about. And just like, you're right, Chicago's in a great scene because like it's so diverse and it's so interesting because it's like the spotlight of how diverse the city was through our drill scene. Yeah. It's really interesting. Like, it got put on the map. And like, you know, motherfuckers always talk about like Keith, you know, Dirk. All of them, right? And like they get their credit, they will do credit, but it's like through that scene, that's where you're able to see, you know, Chance, you know, yeah. Meek Jenkins,
yeah,
like No Name, all of them,
yeah, Perk, all of them, Vic, all of them, bro, like Vic, people,
all of them, yeah,
people who still like growing right in front of us, too, like we right. all still growing and figuring it all out, bro. Like, I feel like Chance is how old? Chance is like 25, 26,
yeah, Chance is only 25, 26. Yeah.
Bro, like, we ain't even see him at you feel like we haven't even seen him there yet, bro. Like, we still growing up in this shit, bro. Like, imagine, like, 10 years from now, like, we might drop 5-6 classic albums in that time, bro. Like, people got to get these artists time to grow, you know, like, really figure it out and go through life. And just, right. like, you got to get music time. You got to get artists time, bro, because when did Quincy Jones make Thriller? When he was, like, 40, 50, like, getting niggas time, bro. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, man, like,
I love how you said Quincy Jones and not Mike. I love how you said that. You said, oh, yeah. not Mike, Quincy.
Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying? Man, you know what I mean, man.
I know what you mean.
You know, man, when did Quincy Jones make Thriller, man?
Right.
Even Kanye, bro. I feel like Kanye, he going through different phases in his career. You know what I'm saying? He's still figuring it out. You know, who's to say? He might go through his situation and come right back on his rap shit. Who's like, who? You never know, bro. Like, you never know the future, bro. You never know how it might go. Of course, he's a billionaire. He probably give a fuck about rap right now. Like, he beyond that shit. But it's like, you never know. Rap is such a sport, bro. You could be inspired by just hearing who's next. Like, we inspiring people out here, bro. Like, you
know. That's why I be rolling my eyes when artists say like they're gonna retire. It's like rappers
never
like, rap is one of these professions where like you don't like you don't sign a check and say you retire. You just don't drop music until you expire. Like,
you don't retire, bro.
You never retire from rap. When Jay tried to retire like 3 or 4 times, and it's like, all right, bro, I'll wait for that verse soon.
I think Jay was just on at the time. He's probably like, man, he was probably just tired of dropping the album every year around that time. You know what I'm saying? He probably just trying to find different ways to just like, all right, the rap shit, cool, but I gotta get some money over here. And his whole thing was like, man, with that first time he retired, he went like a year and a half without dropping the album around that time. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you never retire, bro. Real rappers never retire. Even with Cole, like he said, this might be his last shit. Nah, he ain't going nowhere.
It's not the cap.
Yeah, well, man.
While you talking about Hov, we got a special edition of this. We call it, it's One Gotta Go. It's an NC rapper edition. So I'm gonna give you 4 rappers or so when they're different primes, and I'm gonna ask you which one would you which 3 would you keep and which one would you leave?
Okay.
97 Hov, 98 DMX, 94 Nas, 03 50. Which one would you say gotta go?
97 Hov. You got, because 0350 was a monster. Nah, feel me.
Wow.
Feel me on this one. Oh, you can't take 0350 away because that shit, that was a different bag, bro. Like, 50 could drop a blank disc around that time, bro. Like, literally, he could drop a quarter and sell a million. Like, 98 DMX.
Hey, that's a hold on. That's a bar. Hold on.
50 could drop a quarter around that time and sell, bro. Like, 98 DMX. Come on, 98 DMX, bro. Didn't he drop two albums that year?
Yeah.
94 Nas?
Illmatic? Illmatic without 94 Nas. You're right.
97J. I get it. Imaginary Players, Volume 1. Great album. But against those three?
Oh, man.
You can't, bro.
Yeah. That was not the answer I was expecting.
I did not expect him to say that. Yeah.
Jay would probably say that.
But you know what? That's right, though, because it's interesting. Because, like, all these other rappers you listed, it's like this. That's like their peak. That's like their prime. Like, 95 DMX. There was, like, one point, like, we saw a video surfing of DMX, like, maybe it was the early 2000s or it was the late 90s, early 2000s. And, like, DMX had, it looked like he was touring for the fucking world. Like,
that was nuts. Surfing.
That, you
know. How many people was that?
It looked like the world to me. The way I was painted out.
Yeah.
And you and you write for 94 Nas because you don't get Illmatic. And you write for 50 because you don't get Rich or Die Trying. And we can't even stunt. The Massacre was even popping. Like,
the Massacre was cold, bro.
You're right.
Yeah.
I guess most people, but I guess I'll say all this to say this is why Jay is arguably the best rapper.
Cause like you can get Jay 03, you can get Jay 07,
There's different peaks for Jay.
Yeah,
and even and like me and Josh and the rest of you was talking about this. That young G song that you had Big, you had Hov, and you had Diddy on there, right? If you take Big off, Hov kills that song. But even between Big and Hov, you can see like Hov is coming up, but like. You know, even though I think this is like before Big Pass, so this is like stuff he already recorded. It's like you can tell Big is already selling in his prime. Yeah, but you're right. There's different peaks.
Flow was just completely different on that song, bro. Like,
Hov was always ahead, bro. Hov was always ahead. It only took him to slow down his reps for the world to know. Like once he slowed down his reps,
you're right.
People knew what he was talking about. Like it was over.
I'm like, now it makes sense. It makes sense. I'm like, and you eliminating Hov in this. That makes arguably Hov the best rapper because Hov doesn't have one snapshot. Exactly. Hov is continuous.
Hov has 96. Hov has 98. He has 99. He has 2000. He has 01. He has 02. Blueprint, feel me, bro. Blueprint 2. If that was 14 tracks, that'd be like his top five albums, bro. Blueprint 2 is crazy. It just had too much filler.
Yeah.
Too many songs.
Yeah. So what's your best Jay album then?
I got it. Man. It changes, bro. I got to give you five. I give you five of them. I'll say.
And it got to be in no order. Just
no order. Five. Blueprint, Black Album, American Gangster, Reasonable Doubt, motherfucking 444. It's like, but it's it changes, bro. Like 444 is up there, but it's like Blueprint 2 is amazing. The shit on it, he was saying on that was crazy. I just wish it was shorter.
Yeah.
You know, if that album was shorter, bro, like he was really taking niggas spots, bro, at that time. Like he was on some shit. He was on some shit around that time. He was popping his shit.
What's crazy is Jay is so good that like Ether didn't like it affected him, but it didn't like end him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
And Ether was if it's not one, it's 1A for the greatest like diss song of all time. You know what
for
I mean?
For sure.
Like,
from Ether, bro, that's nuts. Nobody nuts, come back from him, bro. He was crying on Hot 97, bro. You remember that when he was on Andrew Martinez? Like, bro, he's not crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, he did that. Like, Nas, man, shit was real.
I think that also what cements Nas' legacy is Illmatic and how he came back on Jay. Like,
that's it.
That's his resume right there.
Yeah. And Nas got so many classes, bro. Like, let me get a five for Nas. We got to do Illmatic. It was written. Stillmatic was crazy. Godson was crazy. The Untitled album was crazy. Life is Good is crazy. Like
Life is Good was a good one.
Life is good, bro. Nas I like that album a lot.
But you know what it is for Nas? Those other four albums are good, but it's just damn. Illmatic was just on some other.
Yeah. He set the bar so high.
there's a story about Illmatic in that Nas had wrote all the lyrics down, but when he was going to record, he forgot the notebook. So he recorded majority of Illmatic off the dome. Damn. Everything that he memorized and everything, he just did that shit off the dome. So do you know how hungry you gotta be?
Dude, man, like, that brother starving.
That's nuts. That brother starving.
No rap, yeah. Fuck it.
That's nuts. And wasn't he like 18 at the time?
18, 19, yeah.
18, 19. For you to make that, bro, that's nah, bro. You suck.
And that's your debut album too, bro. That's like that's a debut. Perfect day. You were talking about, because we've had this conversation just on Twitter, like it's 10 songs per, like, you know, again, no fat, none of that kind of stuff. It's nothing like, oh, this should have been off like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like 10 to 12 is like the perfect, that's the perfect album. You can't lose 10 to 12. Anything after?
All right. I'll put an asterisk and put it at 7 because like Daytona hit for me, G. Daytona hit that shit for me.
Daytona was different, bro.
Yeah, wasn't the plugs I'm at only like 7 too?
Yeah.
It was like 7 to 10.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't long. I know that much. It was like, no, it was only like 25 minutes. It was like 7 or 8 songs on that.
Yeah. Daytona was crazy.
I just know when Daytona came out, like Push was, they was like 7 Push. Why? He was like, I wanted 10, but like, you ain't cut 3 off. So 7. I said, 7? What the fuck? I got to like track 3. I said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done here.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. It was worth it. It was worth it.
I feel like that album and Victory Lap too, that played a huge part in like niggas rapping again too. You know what I'm saying? Like once those dropped, niggas like, all right, we finna get back on that rap shit. Like when Daytona and Victory Lap both came out, I feel like that those were the two first albums, like where people was like, okay, that's where you got Meek to start rapping heavy on championships.
Yeah.
And that's when you got all that rap shit. When was that? 2018?
Yeah.
2019, rap started coming back more. A lot of rappers started coming back. And in 2020, that shit was just...
It's like more Boom Bat inspires back. Because Benny has to be a part of this too. Because Benny's a fire-ass debut album.
Facts. Yeah.
A lot of people say they didn't like the debut album because it's like the production is cleaner than the other stuff. It's not as murky. You know, it's not as dark and murky. But it felt like some 03 shit. Like it was like in that 03 time period. I'm forgetting the name of the song, but like he was just rapping and he was talking about losses taught him more than wins. And like I'm listening to it and I'm like, this sound like Hov could have been on here.
One like, of them joints, definitely. Yeah.
Hit-Boy did it. Hit-Boy did all the beats, so of course it's gonna sound like that.
Hit-Boy had a hell of a year. Hit-Boy had a hell of a year, bro. He was reminding people that like he was on a crazy run, bro. I feel like 2020, that Hit-Boy run is different. That's one of them. Like he gonna have to go in the books. The albums he was dropping was crazy. He put Nas back in this shit too, man. Like sure. Just him back there with Nas cooking. Like to hear Nas drop another album too. That's always hearing Nas rapping is amazing.
For sure.
You know, well, listen, we could sit up here for 3-4 hours. Talking to you about music, talk about everything on the sun. We're definitely going to have you back on the podcast at some point.
Most definitely.
Is there anything else that you want to say? Any other comments? Anything like that?
I just want to say I appreciate y'all so much for having me on. We got a lot of music coming. We got a lot of collabs coming. I don't want to say no names yet, but my project from here on out is coming out very soon. February at the latest. I want to say I thank y'all so much for the continuous support. Y'all continue and keep it going. Like just, it's gonna be a long year, but as long as we continue to apply ourselves, we're gonna be just fine. You know, y'all keep being great, keep being amazing.
Where can the people follow you, bro?
Gold at Taze on Twitter, Gold at Taze on Instagram, goldheadsonthetrack.com. I got a beast on there. I have my music videos on there. I have info about the project, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Gold Haze, YouTube, Gold Haze, TikTok, Gold Heads on the Track. We everywhere.
All right. So like he said, go ahead and follow him everywhere that he just listed. And thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the It's Just Shows podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman. Thank you for Jesse Pink, for Derek Small, for, like I said, Kobe, who was not able to be with us today. We once again want to thank Gold Haze for stopping by. Thank you to D. Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. And thank you to Jay Alger and King Bar for the outro music. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Peace.
Yes, sir.